Okay, so the title for tonight is Kitchen Conundrums Using One Oven for Meat and Milk, which is a pretty common issue. People who either have only one oven, or they may have two ovens, but they may want to be able to use both for both without having to sometimes, let's say on Friday afternoon, they have a lot of meat cooking to do, so they want to be able to use both ovens for meat, but they also want to have the flexibility of using one of the ovens for dairy. So what's going to happen in that case? What's the halacha? What's going to be? Okay, so it all starts out with, there's really two parts to this year, and part one is called recha, the aroma of things, which really relates more to cooking meat and milk at the same time, not just one after the other, but cooking meat and milk at the same time. And the second issue which we have to speak about is called zeya, which is whether the steam of the meat and or the milk can potentially cause an issue, which is going to be relevant even when you're not cooking the meat and the milk at the same time, but you're cooking them one after the other. Okay? So there's a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. It's a very interesting Gemara. It's interesting that it doesn't really appear, and the Mefarshim discusses a little bit. It doesn't really appear in the laws, the normal place where the laws of meat and milk and kosher and not kosher appear, which is in you're within Chulin, but it appears in Pesachim in the context of the Korban Pesach. So Amar Rav, so Rav says, Basar shechuta shamein shetzela'o im basar nevela kachosh. So Rav gives the following case. I have a big fatty piece of meat, and I roast it. They're not touching, but let's say they're in the same, roasting area, the same, maybe the same oven if they're being roasted. So with the meat of not kosher meat, but the not kosher meat is kachosh, meaning it doesn't have any fat. So even though normally it is the fat that conveys the recha, the smell, nevertheless, in this case, it is asur, meaning the smell of the meats intermixing creates prohibition for the kosher piece of meat. So where it says, my time, oh, mefat mi. So the fat goes back and forth, so to speak, whatever smell, whatever aroma is created by the fats goes back and forth, and therefore, one piece of meat is going to forbid the other piece of meat. And where it says, Levi, Amar Levi says, even if the not kosher meat was fat and the kosher meat was lean, nevertheless, mutar, it is permitted. My time a recha ba'almahu, it's only the smell, the recha lav miltahi. Recha does not create any problems. So we have machloket between Rav and Levi, as if I have a kosher food or a not kosher food. And we'll see soon this would apply if I have meat and milk being roasted together at the same time. In the same area, is one going to prohibit the other? So the Torah brings three opinions as to who the halacha follows. So if you look at the three, I put a one, two, and three over there. The Torah doesn't do that. I did that. So the Torah says number one, Pasuk Rashi Kelevi Desharim V'Chenka the Bahag. So Rashi and the Bahag hold that it is permitted. You're allowed to have if you're allowed to cook the meat and the let's say the meat and dairy, or the kosher meat and not kosher meat, you're allowed to roast them at the same time in proximity of each other. We don't assume that the recha, the smell, is going to prohibit, one's going to prohibit the other. Number two, Rabbeinu Tam holds, Kerav de Asar. Rav says, forbidden, even Basar Nevela, Kachosh in Basar Shamein Shechuta, de Recha, de Reach, ki hai Miltahi. So Rav is of the opinion that Recha is Milta, the smell is. Has the quality of the original source of where it came from, and therefore have the smell of a forbidden meat that's going to prohibit the other piece of meat. And Chazav HaRashba, so the Rashba says, Haskalat Rov HaMorim, the conclusion of most of the teachers of Halakha, has to be this opinion of Rif and Rambam as well. Lahatir Rechol Makom, Mikol Makom, Lechatchila, sorry, Lahatir, Kama, Mikol Makom, Lechatchila, Asur L'Tzotam B'Tzanur Tzar. So he says that if you, after the fact, if you roasted the two things together, it would be allowed. However, in the first place, you shouldn't roast them together in a small oven. And let's assume that our ovens qualify as small ovens by their standards. Okay? However, if you come to cook them in a pot, each one by itself, even a small oven, and the pots are open, nevertheless, you're allowed to, because if it's in a pot, it is okay. We'll analyze in a minute what this leniency is by pot. Hi, how are you?
Okay, I have a quick question. Smell, how long do you have to wait for the smell to go?
I think it goes away right away, like within a couple of seconds. We're talking about right now doing it at the same time. We're not talking about one after the other. We're talking about at the same time, meaning as you're roasting one, you're roasting the other. Not in the same oven, meaning not in the same grates, not using the same utensils, but they're near each other, and therefore the smell is being transferred from one to the other. But that's what we're talking about here. It's happening at the same time. Okay? So if you look at Shulchan Aruch, we'll see which opinion he holds like. He says, Ein solin basar kishera im basar nevela, o shel behemat zmeah betanur echad. You cannot cook kosher meat. You can't roast kosher meat and not kosher meat together in the oven at the same time, even though they're not touching. Veim tzela'an, if you do, harizim mutar. After the fact, it's okay. Vafilu haita asura shimeina harbe, vahamutar et razayim. If one's very fat, the other one's skinny, it doesn't make a difference. If one of them was covered with a pot or with something else, the bowl, something like that, so therefore the recha, the smell, is not transferring from one to the other, so then in that case, it would be permitted. In that case, it would be permitted. Okay, good. So, Shulchan Aruch says that as long as they're not covered, you should not cook them in close proximity of one another. And you should not roast them close proximity of one another, but if they're covered, then it would be okay. Okay, so according to this, one, and look at the Ramah says, meat and milk, the same thing would be true. So therefore, according to this, one should not cook open meat and open dairy in the oven at the same time. Now we'll see soon that there are other issues involved, namely the vapors of one, whether they're going to affect the status of the other. However, even assuming there are no vapors involved, one should not cook the meat and the dairy together near each other. Okay, he says something very interesting also, that if you baked bread with meat in the same oven, so let's say you're baking your challah and you have meat going on at the same time, it should not be eaten with dairy. If you have other bread, if you're stuck, then it's okay. Okay, and then the Ramah quotes some other stringencies, like if it's spicy foods, so then maybe it's a problem. But at the end of the day, as long as one of them is covered, it would be okay. Okay, so lema'aseh, in practice, one should not cook meat and dairy together, open in the oven at the same time, even if there's no issues of the vapors. One should not cook meat and dairy together in the oven at the same time. Now, what's interesting over here is that the Shulchan Aruch in the next...
Rav Simon.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question. The sure. question in my life, you're talking about the smell. What about the kitchen itself, the smell? There's a room of old times, the kitchen smell like meat. And you're making also dairy. That's also...
I don't think that's what they mean by recha. I think what they mean by recha is they're near each other. There's like a much stronger... something much stronger is going on.
I think the meat...
recha that they're describing.
I think the meat is more stronger smell than the dairy smell.
It could be. But anyways, I don't think that's what they're discussing over here. They're discussing a situation where the meat and the dairy are being roasted in close proximity to each other. And therefore, there's something more that's being transferred from one to the other. I don't think they're talking about the room smells one way, and on one side of the room cooking meat, one side of the room cooking dairy. I don't think that's what it means by recha.
There's no problem with it in those, depending on how small the room is, how small is the kitchen is.
Yeah, and how close you're cooking them to each other. But anyway, we'll see in 1 minute. We'll see in okay. 1 minute. It seems to me that, especially in that case, it shouldn't be an issue. Because look at this. Look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. When does this appear? When you're roasting them. If you're cooking them in a pot, independently, afilu betoner katan upif satum, even in a small closed oven, mutar. V'avavisha kederot migulo migulev. V'avavisha piha kederot migulev. Even though the pots are open, there's no problem of recha. So Shulchan Aruch says that if they're in pots, it's not open roasting, but they're in pots, so then there's no problem. Now the question is that because I'm cooking as opposed to roasting, or is that just the by virtue of the fact that they're in pots? Let's say I have something, two dry foods in pots next to each other that are being cooked. Is that a problem? So you look at the Shach says, he quotes the Tur B'Shem, the Rashba, he says, because ein reach hamitzbashlim kokach oser, so because the smell of the mitzbashlim, the things that are being cooked, doesn't forbid so much. Da Beit Yosef hikshal zeh tochiach mishas tafilu nitzle b'kederayino oser. Even if it's being roasted in the pot, it will not be forbidden. V'ulay lazeh hishmitz yom divrei Rashba lomar delo talya midi bereach habishul o tzali behefset kedera. So basically he says that according to the Beit Yosef's opinion, it's not just about roasting versus cooking. It's about just by virtue of the fact that it's in the pot. By virtue of the fact that it's in the pot, it shouldn't be an issue. So at the end of the day, most of the time where you're cooking meat and dairy perhaps at the same time, so they're gonna be in pots, or they're gonna be in pans or in something. So I don't know. So to me, it seems like it should be permitted in most cases, but I don't know. But the poskim don't bring this leniencies. But anyway, at the end of the day, it's worthwhile to be machmir, even though I think it could be allowed. But in general, definitely when it comes to roasting, not to roast meat and dairy together at the same time, even not touching. If they're in pots, then I think there's some room for leniency. Okay. But let's talk about now another issue. Which we'll see is going to become a much bigger issue. And that's the issue of Zeya. The issue of not the aroma, but the vapors of meat and dairy. And whether or not you would be allowed to cook one after the other within one oven. Okay, I should, just as a disclaimer, most of this year for tonight is based on an article by Rabbi Howard Jachter that he wrote in the RJJ Journal. It's also, I think, in one of his books. So he really gave a lot of the structure, and sources for this year are based on him. I often use him for my halacha shiurim. He has a very, very organized, well-presented approach to teaching halacha. Okay, so we have a Mishnah. You have a Mishnah Masachet Machshirin, Perek Bet Mishnah Bet, Merchatz Timea Zeata Timea. If I have an impure bathhouse, let's say it's a bathhouse where the water is impure for whatever reason, so not only is the bathhouse itself, is the water of the bathhouse itself impure, but the Zeya, the vapors of the water, the steam that comes from the water, would be considered to be Tameh as well. It also is impure. The status of the steam is the same as the status of the bath itself, the bathhouse itself. So the Rosh was asked the following question. Al ilfas cholevet im yicholin latet lemata bekira tachat kedera shel basar. Okay? So imagine the following scenario. Let's say I have either a two-tiered oven, or I have, let's say, like something that's hanging, a pot that's hanging on top of the oven, and I want to put a pot beneath it, right? So I'm going to have one pot on top of the other pot on two different levels. So can I? This is the following question: can I put a meat pot underneath a dairy pot? Both pots cooking at the same time. Is there a problem? They're not touching. The food's not going from one to the other. However, the steam from the bottom pot is going to be going up and touching the top pot. Is that a problem? So the Rosh says, Nireh li she'asur, v'afilu b'diavad im na'asa, hayiti oser ha'kidera. So the Rosh says, in my opinion, it is forbidden. And even after the fact, if it was done, I would forbid the pot. It was forbidden. It's like it has meat and milk, meat and dairy, both absorbed into the pot. Why? Ki hazeh ha'olam min ha'ilfas hu kemo chalav. The steam, the vapors of the lower dairy pot are like as if they're dairy itself. It's as if you have milk coming up. It's not actually milk. It's just the vapors of milk. But just like, he says, ki tznan b'perek bet demachshirin, merchatz tmeya zeata tmeya. So just like when it comes to the bathhouse, the liquid, so to speak, the condensation of the bathhouse, the steam, the vapors of the bathhouse are also tameh. So therefore, so too, the vapors of dairy food are dairy, and the vapors of meat food are meat. And therefore, if it were to come into contact with the other type, it would be forbidden, asur, it would be not kosher.
You're saying that two pots are on top of each other, one pot is on the bottom and one top, the pot is on top?
Exactly.
We already spoke before, we said you're one dairy pot and one meat pot, that they're not, it's assured to be next to each other. They touch each other.
They're not touching each other. The two pots aren't touching each other. The steam from the bottom pot is reaching the top pot. That's the issue.
And what the bottom pot is touching the on the top of the pot the bottom top the on top of the thing a pot, you're saying, right?
The steam from the bottom pot is reaching the pot on top of it.
No, I'm talking about if you see there's a pot over here on the bottom and another pot is on the top. And then it's like over here. This is a whole pot. It's where the food's coming out. You're covering the thing.
Let's assume for now nothing is covered. Nothing is covered.
Part,
for
this part is uncovered, and you put another pot on top of it.
Not directly on top. There's space in between. Let's say it's two racks. Imagine two racks. Okay, it's not directly on top.
Okay.
So, anyways. So he says, "Mikol halen shamina dezeya yotze min hadavar chashuva keoto davar." The vapors that come out are the same as from an item, or the same as that item. Nimtzed zeat ha'ilfas cholevet hi kechalav v'havilei ketipat chalav shenafla kederam v'chutz sheosera kedera. So the dairy pots, it's the vapors are like dairy themselves, and it's as if a drop of milk fell on top of the top pot. Okay, so he says he has some other, he's not sure, maybe if the top pot is very hot, it won't absorb the zeya, but that's, it's an important point, but really not, the poskim don't really bring it as much, so we're not going to get into that issue. Okay, now, so let's see how this comes out. A couple of places in Shulchan Aruch where this comes out, okay? Shulchan Aruch says, "Machavat shel chalav shenetano bekira tachat kedera shel basar, hazea olev nivla ba kedera veosarta." If I have a dairy pot, I put it underneath the meat pot in the stove, the oven. So then, what happens is the vapors go up and they're absorbed in the top pot, and they make the top pot forbidden. Now the Rama says, this is all assuming that the bottom pot is uncovered. If the bottom pot is uncovered, so then all the vapors can go up and hit the top pot. Also, we're assuming that it's close enough that the steam that's coming out is very hot. Okay, but he says if the steam is not so high, if there's a distance, the steam will cool down by the time it gets to the top pot. So that case wouldn't be an issue either. Okay? So,
the steam is a tameh you were saying before. Is a tameh?
Well, that was the tameh was the case in Machshirin that the Rosh based himself on. But right now, we're not talking about that case anymore. We're extending from Hilchot.
I'm asking you that Rosh said that the food steam. I'm not talking about the mikveh. I'm talking about the food that steam come out. That also does consider tameh, or you just a person go to the mikveh that the water, hot water, boiling water in mikveh. That's good. People go in and it makes tameh. That's it's the same thing.
The Rosh is talking about a case in Masechet Machshirin where I have waters that are Tameh. The steam that comes from those waters is Tameh as well. So the Rosh says the same thing applies to food. If I have steam from dairy food, it's dairy also. You're not talking about Tumah v'Tahara. Steam from dairy food is dairy also.
We don't hold like that today, no?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. Stay tuned.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out how do we treat the steam from the dairy food as dairy or not. Okay, let's continue. So he says, if the pot is covered, it's like two pots that touch each other, which unless there's moisture will not transfer taste. So the same thing is true for the ze'ah. The same thing is true for the vapors, the steam. It will not, one will not affect the other if the bottom one is covered. But in the first place, you should be machmir on all these things. It's not 100% sure, it's not 100% clear which case the Rama is saying that you should be machmir on. Okay? But we'll see, maybe that'll come up a little bit later on. Okay? So the Rama, Shulchan Aruch, the Rama over here hold that if I have steam from one pot and that steam from that pot touches a pot that's above it, one is dairy, one is meat, it's as if the dairy, the actual dairy got onto the meat pot that is above it. That's what it seems like. Okay? Similarly, if you look in Yoreh Deya Siman Kufchet Saif Aleph in the Rama, he says, "Aval bazeh achar zeh, ein lachush." So he's talking about the case of the recha, the case where I roasted the two meats one right after the other. So he says, "I don't have to be concerned." Ela im kein hizia hamachavat mishnehem. Unless I have, let's say, a piece of metal on top, and that piece of metal on top received the zeya from both of them, the steam from both of them. In that case, the az asur afilu bezeach arze, even one after the other, im hayushnehem migulim davi kekisui shel kedera. So they have a major problem. Then, even if the two pots are not there at the same time, but I have one pot, I have an open pot of meat, and that creates zeya, that creates steam, it goes up, and it gets absorbed in the roof, let's say the roof of the oven. And then I have a dairy pot that also has zeya, and that goes up, and it also gets absorbed in the roof of the oven, but then it condenses, and it brings some of the flavor down. Now I have major kashrut issues. If I use the same oven for meat and dairy, one after the other, and there's steam coming out, so then the steam that comes out can create a serious meat and milk issue. My meat steam goes up, gets absorbed in the roof, or maybe even stays there, and then another steam comes up and sort of attaches to that steam, condenses and comes back down. Therefore, I have a major meat and milk issue in my oven potentially. Okay, so that's the issue of Zaya. Okay, now the rest of this year we're really going to analyze somewhat what are the parameters of Zaya, of the steam, of the vapors of a food. When do we say that the vapors of the food actually have the status of the food? And when do we say that the vapors of the food do not have the status of the food? So that's really what the rest of the shir, Bezrat Hashem, is going to be on. Okay? So let's look at some sources. Okay? Now, I didn't have a chance to actually look up the Mishkanot Yaakov, but Rabbi Jackson and others quote the Mishkanot Yaakov. Mishkanot Yaakov says, I don't believe in the whole concept of Zaya. He has other proofs, he has other situations where he thinks that the Zaya, the vapors or the steam, do not have the same halacha as where they came from, and therefore Mishkanot Yaakov holds the whole thing is no problem. Most poskim do not agree with the Mishkanot Yaakov, but it's an important opinion to be aware of in the broader discussion of meat and dairy in ovens, and it's possible that some people will rely on the Mishkanot Yaakov as an extra basis for leniency. Okay, let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is a very famous, very important opinion. The Aruch HaShulchan says the following: Bidin zeya mitbarer lanu mishnah demachshirin de lo shayach zeya ella b'makom ha mukaf velo b'makom galui כמו בקירה שהקדירה התחתונה נתונה בה, ועליה עומד העליונה, ועולה זיה סביב סביב שאין לה מקום לצאת. So he says that we only say that Zaya is an issue if I have a very confined space, a very combined space. Of a makom galui kibetanurim shelanu, but an open space like in our ovens, shiyesh avir, there's air, there's ventilation. Hazaya ola ba'avir veino osera kedera samuch lo. So it's a very important opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if you have ventilation in your oven, that's not what we're talking about. Zeya is like really thick steam. It's really intense heat. It's very trapped. It's confined. That's what Zeya is. That's when you treat the whatever comes out of the pot as meat or dairy, etc. Because it's very tight. But if you're dealing with a more open space or if there's ventilation, the Aruch HaShulchan says there's no problem with Zeya in that case. Okay, we'll come back to the Aruch HaShulchan Bezrat Hashem soon. Another very important limitation, again, that's one major limitation on the concept of Zeya. Another very important limitation on the concept of Zeya. The Pischei Tshuva in Yoredei Simen Tzadibet Sifkat Vav quotes the Pri Megadim. He quotes the Pri Megadim who says as follows, I am Pri Megadim, or Achayim, Panhagos Horaos Sisar Veheter, Sedershini Olam Zay Shekatav, Tiberabam Perek Zayim Mutumat Ochlin, Din Dal Mivuvar Davka Zeat Mashkin Kamohu, Aval Ochlin Kamo Chelev Hamahutach, Ein Zeato Kamohu. Very, very important. The rule that Zeya takes on, that the steam has the same status of where it came from, that only applies to liquids. When it comes to food, even, he calls chelev hamuhutach, which I believe is like a congealed fat, which is going to liquefy eventually. But right now, it is in its congealed state. Ein zeyata kamohu, the Zeya, the steam, does not have the same halacha as the item itself. The steam, it does not have the same halacha as the item itself. Im kein yesh ladun tuva, im haya machavat mechulal lemata, mechala lemata cham, ulemala samuch davar kasher, vazeya ola afilu yatzoled, bezeya afsha yesh latir. So he says, let's say I have not kosher pot on the bottom, that's hot, and I have a kosher pot on top, but it's food, it's not liquid. It's food. So he says maybe the steam is not going to affect the food that's on top of it. Now, the Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes this Pri Megadim, and he says, "Umikomakon lemaaseh bevaday hazeya yesh lahachmir." If you see, imhiziu, bevaday hiziu, if you know for sure that there is steam, you should be machmir, aval bistama ilachush deshema hiziu bedvarim yivashim. So he says, you don't have to assume, if you're dealing with dry foods, you don't have to assume that there was steam. And therefore, he says, you can be lenient and use meat after dairy if the foods are dry. Because you assume there's no steam, it doesn't create any problems. Okay. The Chavodat is a fourth leniency. So he's of the opinion that the Zeya can be mavliya, but it can't be maflit. Meaning, Zeya can push taste into the roof of the stove, roof of the oven, but the Zeya is not going to go up and extract the taste. It's not going to bring the taste down. Zeya only pushes taste in. Zeya does not pull taste out. So therefore, you would have a major leniency as far as we're concerned when it comes to using the ovens. Okay? So Rabbi Jachter summarizes that there are basically four opinions, four approaches you can have to ovens. Four approaches you can have to ovens. And we're going to go through them right now. For practical halacha, please speak to your local Orthodox rabbi so that he can guide you. But I'll go through the four opinions as Rabbi Jachter presents them. Opinion number one, the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, according to the approach, we saw above that the Aruch HaShulchan says that the rule of Zeya only applies in a small, confined space. So, Rabbi Jachter says, according to the approach of the Aruch HaShulchan, one would be permitted to cook milk and meat consecutively in the same oven, provided the oven is clean. The cleanliness of the oven eliminates the problem of recha, and the fact that we do not cook in small confined spaces removes the problem of zeya. Okay, so two things. You have to make sure there's no actual residue, food residue in your oven. There's no dairy residue in your meat oven or vice versa. Because let's say you're cooking a pot roast or some sort of open cooked meat. That's not like pot roast, I guess, is probably closed. But let's say an open pot roast or some open meat. And there's the liquid splatters all over the oven. So or the oils, you have some oily food and the oil splatters all over the oven. So you're going to have a real problem because you're going to have meat there. If you want to now cook uncovered dairy over there, you're going to have the recha issue. You're going to have the odors, the smells, the aromas that are mixing together, which you don't want. So therefore, you have to make sure the oven is clean. Hold on, wait. Johnny, I'll be with you one second. So you have to make sure the oven is clean. So that avoids the issue of recha. And then the fact that we're cooking in a large space removes the issue of zeya. Rabbi Herschel Schachter routinely tells inquirers that they may adopt this approach. Rabbi Schachter reasons that the problem of zeya only applies to hevel, thick steam. It's not just like vapors like we have in there. That's the really thick steam. That's Zeya. An assertion supported by Beir Hagah. We'll see that in 1 minute. Rav Schachter counsels, however, that one way for the oven to cool down from dairy use before the meat use and vice versa. So if you look at the Beir Hagah, he says, Kaniska La'el, when he's talking about the concept of Zeya, he refers back to Seif Bet, De Bekisa Havi Kenier, Shehevel Mitpashet Bekulo, he goes the following case. Let's say a drop of meat falls into a pot of milk. So the halacha is that in order for it to become batel b'shishim, in order for it to become nullified in 60 parts, it needs to actually be mixed in. If it's just sitting there on top, it's not nullified. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if I cover the pot, so the steam that mixes everything around in the pot, that's what creates that can also create bitul. That can also create nullification. So the Vilna Gaon says this is a source for our concept that you can have steam be treated like the food itself, because here the steam is causing the bitul, it's causing the nullification. However, if you think about it, what type of steam are we talking about? We're talking about a closed pot. The steam in a closed pot is very thick. It's hevel. It's very thick steam. That's the type of steam that the Chachamim were talking about, the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah were talking about when they spoke about steam. It's thick steam, but the steams that we have in our ovens, our ventilated ovens, garnish, nothing. That doesn't create any Isur. So as long as your oven is clean, you can cook meat after dairy, one after the other, no problem. It's better to let the oven cool down, but according to Rosh Hashanah, according to Aruch HaShulchan, you can cook one right after the other, no problem. Okay, Johnny, you had a question.
According to the Aruch HaShulchan, and he said that one permitted to cook milk, milk and meat. Is he talking about together in one?
No, I think one after the other. One after the other. Because if it's at the same time, then you have issues of recha.
It doesn't mention that one after each other. He probably meant he didn't say anything about that.
So let's see. Let's look. Hine b'din zeya mitba'er lanu mishad imachshon shon zeya el makom hamukaf lo makom galui kumo b'kivah shekidur katan zeya aveli zeya savi savi shenu makom let's say makom galui shekidur shelanu v'rezei olav avir ve'ino osera kederah samuch lo. Yeah. So you're right. It would be even at the same time. However, he's not accounting for the issue of recha. Meaning, let's say the top pot is covered. And there's a pot right beneath it that's open. So there's no problem of recha because the top one is covered. But there could be a problem of zeya because the steam from the bottom one is going into the top one. So he says in our ovens, which are ventilated, there is no problem of zeya either in that case. Because whatever steam that comes up is going to be ventilated and it's not going to be strong enough in order to create prohibition.
So you're saying that two cases we do, I mean, you're permitted to do it. First, you need to clean the whole oven, and two pots have to be covered. Then one will be open, that will cause the problem.
According to the Aruch HaShulchan, one of them could be open. That's okay. As long as one of them is covered, that would be fine. Or Or you're doing it one after the other. Meaning they could be both open, just one after the other. We're talking about right now more about one after the other. I'm not addressing the issue so much of doing it at the same time, because there you're
right. One is open, you said that is the cause of problem. How come he said it's not
a problem? No, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that that's only when there's a lot of steam coming from the bottom one that's open. But if the bottom one, but if it's a ventilated oven, there's not so much steam, he thinks that it's okay. You could have one underneath the other, and the bottom one be open, and the top one be closed.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, you pointed that out. I think you're correct. Okay. Opinion two, Rabbi Jachter quotes from Rabbi Lichtenstein, who says the following. Although Rabbi Lichtenstein permits one to eat in a house where the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan is followed, he recommends that one adopt a stricter standard. He suggests that one either wait 24 hours between cooking milk and meat in the same oven. Apparently, Moshe Feinstein permitted this as well. Okay, that's an oral report that Rabbi Jachter has. Okay, so either you could wait 24 hours, and therefore once 24 hours are waited, so then any flavor that's coming out is called tam pagum. It is distasteful, so to speak. It's not really so potent. It's pungent, and therefore it would be okay b'di'eved after the fact. So therefore, there's already more basis for leniency because the prohibition is only made d'rabbanan. That's one option, number one. Or he kashers the oven between cooking meat and milk in the same oven within 24 hours. You don't want to wait 24 hours. You could kasher it. One kashers the oven for this purpose by cleaning it and letting it run for an hour at its maximum temperature. So it has to be a clean oven. Let it run for an hour at its maximum temperature. The laws regarding a microwave, however, may be different. We're not going to get to microwaves, but Rav Lichtenstein says you have two options. Either wait 24 hours or kasher. Now again, if your food is covered, it's not a problem. It's not an issue because there's no steam going in and out. We're talking about right now if you want to cook uncovered things one after the other. So then, Rav Lichtenstein says, either wait 24 hours, or you can
kasher the oven
by leaving it by making sure it's clean and leaving it for 1 hour in the highest temperature. Yes, Johnny.
Oven and a microwave is the same thing, or they're two different cases?
They're different. We're not getting into microwaves right now because microwaves, they have leniencies and stringencies versus ovens. They have certain their stringencies because the space is much smaller, it's much more confined, there's much less ventilation, but they're a little bit more lenient because it's not 100% clear that the top of the microwave really gets so hot.
You're not allowed to use it, meat and dairy.
I would not do that. Listen, I'm not saying there aren't those who say that it's allowed. You should ask your rabbi what to do in practice, but I would not advise using one microwave for meat and dairy. Again, unless you always cover one. And if you always cover the meat, and it's a dairy microwave, if you always cover the dairy, it's a meat microwave, that's okay. I just want to use it for meat and dairy uncovered. That's why
it's... We could go according to the Aruch. Aruch is saying you have to permit...
No, but again, I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan applies to microwaves because, the Aruch HaShulchan means you have space, you have ventilation. Our microwaves are very tight, and I don't think they have such good ventilation, the microwaves.
So that microwave is more stricter than the oven.
Yes, again, but there's on the other hand, microwaves are a little bit more lenient also because if you ever try this test, okay? Be careful, but try this test. Cook something in a microwave for a minute, okay? Stop the microwave, open it up, touch the top of the microwave. Do you know what you'll find usually? It's not even so hot. Because the way the microwave works and the way the microwave heats up the water particles, it doesn't seem to create a hot steam that hits the top of your microwave. And therefore, if your microwave is clean, on the other hand, it has some basis for leniency because of but Lamasa, I would advise being strict with your microwave and having separate meat and dairy microwaves, unless you always cover one. I mean, you could have a meat microwave and always cover the dairy. Or vice versa. Okay.
So you're saying that there's oven, there's microwave, and there's toaster. So saying that
toaster is the most strict because toaster for sure gets hot, and toasters for sure have no ventilation. So
okay.
Toasters are the most strict. Okay. So that's opinion number two. So again, number one is the Aruch HaShulchan who says our ovens, don't worry about them. It's all good as long as your oven is clean. Don't worry about it. Opinion number two is Rav Lechem Senior says wait 24 hours or kosher. Okay? Opinion number three, Moshe Feinstein. So Moshe Feinstein says, we read this part before, right? So he says that if there is Zaya, it's a problem. Okay? So he says you should be machmir with open pots. If you have closed pots, it's okay. However, b'diavad, after the fact, if you used it, if it's after 24 hours, so then don't worry about it. If it's after 24 hours, don't worry about it. If there's any actual substance, it was probably batel b'shishim. Okay, because he says maybe there's no zeya at all. If it was zeya, maybe it's batel. So therefore, it's okay. Okay, so he says that after the fact, if you did it, he said, don't do it. Don't use the same oven for meat and dairy, uncovered. But after the fact, if you did it, that's okay. However, that's only talking about if you cooked stuff with moisture. There's a lot of steam that comes from the moisture. However, if you cook dry things, right, or is baking, so therefore, he thinks it will be okay.
The Aruch doesn't hold like the motion, like Moshe Feinstein, because Moshe Feinstein, you need to wait to, I think he said you need to clean out the oven. Also, you have to wait for 24 hours.
Well, no, that's after the fact. No, he doesn't even allow you to do it lechatchila within. You're not even allowed to do it. Again, we have a tradition for a Moshe, but in his Tshuva, he didn't say that you can actually do it within 24 hours. But let me get to the main part of Moshe, Johnny, and then I'll take more questions, okay? So the main part of Moshe is that Lamaaseh, he says that if you have dry foods, you don't have to be concerned that there is any Zaya, and therefore it would be permitted one right after the oven. So if I have, let's say, a dry piece of bread that I'm baking, right, and I'm cooking I cooked some meat in there, it's no problem. You could do one right after the other because we assume that dry foods don't actually have any zay, unless you saw it, but we assume that dry foods don't have any zay. And even small amounts of liquid, let's say you had a pizza. Pizza has a small amount of liquid. So according to Moshe, you don't have to be worried about the Zaya that comes out of the pizza, and that would be okay. Okay, now, but again, if you saw that there was Zaya, then it would be a problem. Okay, and opinion number four is the most machmir, the Badei HaShulchan, where he advises that you should try to have two different ovens, even though he says, listen, if you're always going to cover one type, then it's okay. So if I have meat, I make my oven meat, and I always cover the dairy, I make my oven dairy, I always cover the meat, that would be okay. But he says that even that if I have two liquidy foods, I shouldn't cook them. Even if they're covered, I should not cook them one after the other. So he says, if I'm in Kresh, if you shell sham ma'achal b'sarim mashke, v'alav v'shell sham acharkach ma'achal chavim mashke, she'az yoter yachush zeh yesh lamtin shelo v'ashlo af b'kisui. So he says you shouldn't cook it even if it is covered. I don't remember. He may say that after 24 hours, you could be lenient. Let me see if I could find that section again. Give me one second. Yes, I skipped that. I skipped that important point, okay? Ad she yavru chaf dalid shaot. Okay, so he's even more machmir. So, you know, he follows the opinion that really would be best to have separate ovens. I think everybody would agree. Listen, if a person's able to have separate ovens for meat and for dairy, kol hakavod, that's really the best thing you can do if you have separate ovens for meat and for dairy. But again, we're talking about people who can't have separate ovens for meat and for dairy. How do they manage? Now, as I mentioned before, these leniencies would not apply in a small toaster oven because the space is tight, there's not good ventilation. We're talking about the larger ovens that we use. So the best thing the Badei HaShulchan says is to use your oven, is to have separate ovens. If not, then he thinks you should have one oven that's meat, and then one oven that's either meat or dairy, whatever, and the other type always gets covered, okay? And he has certain situations where he says that if there's for sure Zaya, even if it's covered, he thinks it's better to be Machmir within 24 hours. And the last opinion I wanted to read over here is the Rav Adi Yosef. He says, Yesh l'hakel al kol panim b'diavad gam etafshalach apil b'toch me'et la'et. He says that after the fact, even if it's liquidy foods, you could be lenient even within 24 hours. He says, especially according to what we brought, that many achronim hold that the whole Easter Zeah is only midravanan. But l'chatchila, in the first place, what does Rav Avadia say? Nira devadai sheyesh lahachmir shlo levashel b'kedera migula tafshil lach afilu acham meid la'ed. If it's wet, even after 24 hours, don't do it. V'rak ba'ochlin kigon afiyatu goat k'vina lachar tzliyat basar yesh l'tzarev data sovim she'en hin zeya ba'ochlin. You could rely on the opinion that there's no zeya when it comes to foods. So therefore, after you've roasted meat, you can do dry dairy afterwards. It's not 100% clear to me whether he holds they both have to be dry or only the second one has to be dry. It's not 100% clear to me. And he also says the condition is she has sequit a tanur. You should try to burn it out for 20 minutes. So that will burn out. If there is any zeya, it will be burnt out. He says, "Vanugim la'kel b'zeh v'ochlim gam b'toch med la'et ein limchot bi'adam sheyesh lamo sheyismochu." If people within 24 hours use the same oven, so you shouldn't protest. They have what to rely on. Okay. So just to summarize the basic opinions that basically everybody agrees, the best thing to do is have a separate meat and dairy oven. Okay. Now, a person can't have a separate meat and dairy oven. The next best option would be. That's the way. Now, it's not, Rosh is not necessary, but a commendable practice would be to a person to always use their oven either for meat or for dairy, and the other type always gets covered. That would be next best option. If a person can't do that either, so then for dry foods, Ramosha says that he, unless you know that there's Zeya, you don't have to assume that there's any Zeya, and therefore you can be lenient to use the same oven for meat and dairy, one after the other, assuming we're talking about dry foods. What if one of them is wet and one of them is dry? I'm not 100% clear. I would assume Ramosha would still be lenient in that case, but I'm not 100% clear, okay?
What do you mean a dry food? What do you mean a dry food?
Like things you're baking. Like, you know, like even a pizza. Pizza doesn't have so much moisture in it. It has a little bit of sauce, but compared to you know, the pots that they're talking about where there's a lot of steam coming out, it doesn't seem, even that, I would assume, is not really an issue. Okay? Okay, Chavra. Hazaku Baruch. And let me just...
Hazaku Baruch. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you guys for...